world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
We are jellyfish, aren't we? We get right down to it. Guys, listen to that promo. We really, really are jellyfish. And I want you to think about this. Let's just throw this program aside. Let's not talk about anybody, anything. Let's act like this show here does not exist, okay? I want you to think right now. Can you name one on fire, take no crap Christian in your life? I'm going to pause and I'm going to give you a chance to think about that. With all the evil that we see going on around us, coming into our schools, teaching our kids transgenderism. I have a video somebody sent me about what's going on in regards to public education, indoctrination, and homos in Austin, Texas. About a 30-minute video. It's pretty powerful. Think about the corruption going on in government. Think about the children being killed at local abortion clinic. Think about the dishonesty even in your local government, the overtaxation that's going on in our local governments, the corruption you see everywhere. Can you name for me, take this show out of your mind, the people that you've met on this show, can you name one non-jellyfish Christian? I'm opening it up right there. I never opened up this. Do you even know one? I'm not talking about somebody you saw on the internet. I'm not somebody you follow on Facebook. Do you, in your life, know one take-no-crap Christian?
Praise God.
Tell no.
I know several over the past decade that have seen a lot, have dedicated themselves to Christ. I mean, dedicated. I know several, yes.
Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I do know a few, but I have to be honest with you. They're kind of a spinoff of this show, or people I know was Jennings. So they're really.
So George, what if we were to go back 3 years before your eyes were open, George? Go back 3 years, and you're sitting there in that jellyfish church that you're in, and all the world's good and everything's going on. Do you know of any outside that you used to look at? That guy's nuts. That guy's nuts.
Nope.
Do you guys know of any in your? I'm talking in your entire spectrum of people that you know. Do you know any?
Yes.
And I would say,
I know a number. When I have breakfast one-on-one with them, they're okay. They're okay. Just being at the breakfast table at my favorite breakfast hangout. They're good. Outside of there, they don't have your back.
That's right. They don't have their own back. Yeah, Jared.
Well, Coach, with that, I think, in my mind, when you say that, I think of, is there one person who would stand up at the school board meeting and call them out and for the wickedness? And I could say no. I think of the three or four or five churches I've been to, very few of anyone.
So let me throw it on the other foot. Do you know any Christians in your life that would go to the school board and fight for the homos?
No.
I do.
Sad to say, I do.
Huh? Is that the truth?
Oh yeah.
All we gotta do is look. All we gotta do is look around and understand we're the issue, man. We're the problem. We're the problem, and I just see it every day. And here's the good news: my reputation, whatever that would mean, my reputation is so sullied in mainstream religiosity. What have I got to lose, right? But, the crazy thing is, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. And there are times I wish I had more courage. And there are times I wish I had more people of courage around me. Because I think, truth be told, I'd like to raise R-A-I-Z-E, raise, burn. I like to burn a little bit more hell. You know what I'm talking about? I'd like to be a little bit more vocal. I'd like to make a few more people uncomfortable. Jesus, you know, was known as the rock of offense. You guys know that? He was known as the rock of offense. Do you know that Jesus said, behold, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. Jared, see if you can find that. Where is that? Does anybody know where that is off the top of their head? If Dale was with us, he always spouts that thing off. Yeah, Coach, that would be in Hebrews 12, verse 9. He might be cheating, though, and has something he's digging it up on. Where is that? Behold. Huh? Do you have that, Jared? Jared's got it up there on the screen. It says, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Matthew 6.
Well, this Jared found this in Matthew 10, verse 34. For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loves his mommy or his daddy more than he loves me is not worthy of me. Man, is that something. Do you think he was just fooling around when he said that, or did he mean it? And he that loveth his son or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, Rob Portman, who changed his view on traditional marriage because his son was a fudge packer. That'll get me banned probably somewhere. I won't say that. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So I ask you this. Why are there so few of us living that out, do you think? What do you think it is? We're peace, 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 peace. Jesus said, do you say peace, peace? There is no peace. There ain't no peace. How can there be peace with this evil? How can Christians make peace with this evil? How can Christians make a truce with the devil? And by the way, if you do make a truce with the devil, do you think he'll keep it?
Hey Coach.
George.
In my opinion, because we've taken one of the greatest blessings that our forefathers gave us and we've turned it into a curse, we've taken the fact that we can worship freely and not have religious persecution, and we've gotten lazy and apathetic. And because of that, you know what? We think, hey, there's no persecution. We've gotten soft and lazy, and we've stopped working hard at being good servants of Jesus.
Matthew 10:28 says this. I'm just continuing on here, by the way. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. That's me. Anybody else? Happened to anybody? And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I found his life in me. And I don't care what Right Wing Watch thinks. And I don't care what the Southern Poverty Law Center thinks. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to stand for the truth. He that receiveth me, you, Jesus said. He that receiveth you, receives me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cool water only in the name of a disciple, verily I send you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So here's what I'm reading. Here's why I know the church. I am not welcome in the church world, in the modern church world. I'm not welcome. And even though I come in, I'll open up the Bible and I'll read like we're doing it right now. I'll open up and read it and say, okay, how does this apply to us? They'll stone me out of the building. They won't let me in the building to come in and say this. Now, understand, I'm not whining and moaning and griping about me. I'm really not. Would I love to speak in churches more? Well, sure, I would. I'd like to awaken and strengthen people. I'd love to be able to do that. But the old football coach in me tells me this. In order to build the horses up, you got to break the horses down. You got to get them down. They got to get that lower than dirt before you can build them up. Foundations built at the beginning. You have to tear down all those old lies and then rebuild. See, I want to rebuild people. I want to rebuild people with truth. And as I've said many times, I don't know if I know the truth or not, but I know what isn't true. And the idea that I'm supposed to be at peace with everybody, you won't find that in the scriptures. Why are we at peace with evil? Why do we want to curry the favor of the ungodly? Why do we want the ungodly to be speaking nicely about us? For the life of me, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't get up every morning trying to tick people off. It's not my goal, but it's the truth. How about that? I have to put this shirt on this morning. Truth sounds like hate. Truth sounds like hate.
Amen.
Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you, they hate me. They hate me. Why don't they hate you? Why aren't they hating more of us? Why are Christians so said they'll know us by our love? Yeah, Robert, men like John Brockoff, huh? Men like David Arthur, who now that he's been delivered from this ungodly sexual deviancy, he's not welcome in the church anymore. They don't want to hear it anymore. Grandma and grandpa on the front row, they got a queer daughter. They don't want people talking that you don't have to be that way. Just love them. We have to love them, Brother Arthur. We got to love them. Yeah, you got to love them, but tell them the truth. Jesus said it's going to be a battle. You and your family are going to be in battle because you got to tell your kids the truth. You have to tell your brothers and sisters the truth. And the truth of it is they ain't going to receive it. They don't want to hear it. They're going to reject it. They're going to call you names. They're going to make fun of you. Is that message taught in church?
Hey, Coach, you just talked about people that want their church or want themselves or whatever to be accepted and seen, you know, in the eyes of the world around them so that they're not abrasive or what all that stuff. James 4:4. If you just, James 4:4.
Well, I could let Jared get there a second. Jared's getting good at this thing. Go ahead, Larry. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity? Wow. And there it is. With God, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Go ahead, Larry.
That's it. If you're seeking your friend of the world and you're seeking getting along with the world, you have made yourself the enemy of God. Nobody did it for you. You did it.
Yep. But Larry, see, they'll stuff it in our face. They will know we are Christians by our love.
For one another is what the word adds.
Well, it doesn't even matter. What is love? What is love? Isn't love speaking the truth? Isn't God love and Jesus the truth? Aren't they the same? Aren't they inseparable? God is love. Jesus is truth. Can you love someone and not speak the truth? And I think probably no. I don't think you can.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know what keeps resounding in my ears? Because David Arthur has said it over and over. He says, my mom loved me enough to tell me I can't come in this house dressed as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I really do think this because I know David Arthur's unique. But where would he have been if his mom had have embraced that and accepted? He himself says by his own admission that he probably would not be saved today. So it shows that, yeah, I mean, we may not be liked by all, but we're going to reach some. We're going to reach the ones we're supposed to when we tell them the truth.
Jared, my wife just said Luke 12:51. Luke 12:51. She just texted to me. Yes, George. Yes, yes. And so, see, understand this, guys. Again, it's the false message of the church. It's the false message. If Jesus is our example, ask yourselves this. Did they love him? Did they love Jesus? Or at the very end, did they turn on him? And did Jesus tell us that it was going to be a very narrow way? Going to be a broad way, but there's going to be a very narrow gate. And he said there are many going to come, but only going to be few. It's going to be few. And at the end, when Jesus was crucified, even his 12 disciples left him. So really, that's really few, isn't it? That is really, really few. And all the miracles and all the blessings and all the wonderful things that he'd done over 3.5 years, at the very end, understand this, people love the gifts. They didn't love the gift giver. And we still have that same spirit alive and well in the church. And Peter said, Lord, I'll follow you even to the end of the earth. Jesus laughed. He said, oh, come on, dude. You're going to be by the fire tonight, and somebody's going to say something. You're going to deny you know me tonight. Jesus said that. See, I think, boy, I'd like to have been back those times. Because you know what? You read this Bible. I think Jesus was a lot harsher than we realize. I think there was such a cutting, biting edge of him when he was around people. I bet he ticked people. I bet he ticked people off everywhere he goes. How can I tell you that? Because in Matthew 16, we know this. When Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" What did he say? The disciples say, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Guys, stop a minute. How could they think that? How could they possibly? We know Jeremiah was harsh. We know some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah. We know those were harsh guys. Those were harsh, rugged, tough-speaking men. And when people were talking about Jesus, they thought he was Jeremiah or John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. He was a piercing, penetrating, gravelly guy, I think.
Amen.
Yeah, Rod.
Amen. But I was thinking of Peter. You know, Peter, who supped with him the last meal and said, "I'll never deny you," quickly fell away. Think of the lay person in the church sanctuary now. You going to tell me that we're not going to have a falling away? Peter, who walked with Jesus, saw the miracles, fell away quickly, was restored because of the Jesus coming back. Imagine what's going to happen to the church body today when things get torqued up a little bit.
Amen. Amen, Roger. And see, here's one of the things we're dealing with. By the way, this just came out of me when the go live button came on. I hadn't planned this. See, here's when we read the scriptures, your opinion, the way you see Jesus, really matters. And you serve the God you see, Flip Benham taught me. You'll serve the God you see. In fact, what did Jesus say? "Who do men say that I am?" He said, that's cool. Who do you say that I am? Because the way you see him will change everything in you.
Yeah.
It'll change everywhere, right? And so if we read the scriptures and we see Mr. Rogers, Joel Osteen, reading the scriptures, I've come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if I'm on the screen here, I'm come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, boys, and how am I straightened till it be accomplished? So, hey, boys, do you think that I came to give peace on the earth? No, I ain't come to bring peace. No, or, hey, dude, you suppose I came to bring peace on the earth? Is that where you think I showed up here, man? I'm to bring peace, get along with these scoundrels? No, I didn't come to bring peace, baby. I came to bring what? I came to bring division, fellas. That's why I came. And I'm going to tell you something, baby. From now on, there shall be 5 in one house divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. And I'm going to tell you what. The daddy, he's going to be divided against the son, and the son's going to be against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, "Here comes a shower." And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, "Oh, it's going to be hot. It's going to come to pass." I'm telling you, you hypocrites. You cannot discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that you do not discern the signs of the time? That's how I think he might have said.
Amen.
Huh? That's a little different, isn't it, boys? Huh? Sure. That's a little different than your 6-foot icicle standing up in front and reading. Oh, turn to John 12 and then reading from John 12 without any emotion.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Coach, here's a help for all of us. Many a times we read the Bible, we understand that this just encapsulated 3.5 years of Jesus' life. But many a times when you read it and think that this is the day and this is another day. Even on the Sermon on the Mount, that encompasses Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. The Sermon on the Mount is literally almost 4 chapters long. So when you get to John and it begins, it talks about the crowd following him. And at the end, when Jesus begins to make it very difficult, the disciples said, "This is a very difficult thing." And Jesus turns and looks, and the crowd is gone. And he looks at them and he says, "Are you going to leave me too?" See, brother, when the rubber meets the road, brother, the people leave because it's no longer about what can God do for me. It's about what can I do for God. And Jesus brings that down. So many times when we read, we need Matthew chapter 5 starts off, oh, with the Beatitudes, oh, sweet things. But then it gets hard. It gets hard. And so when we read the scripture, Bereans, we need to understand sometimes what is this encompassing? We got to see all the scriptures that come around it. So when you're coming out of Luke here, brother, the crowds leave him. They don't stay with him.
No. And you know what, guys? It's my experience. You can amen it or omit it. I don't care which. People follow passionate people. And if we just read these things, do you understand? Jesus is going around. He is so passionate that crowds are drawn to him. Listen, he ain't Joel Osteen drawing crowds with nice words. That these people are coming and hearing him, and they're going home, and they're telling their friends, you got to hear this dude. You ain't going to believe it. You come and hear this dude. And I believe when he tells them that he didn't come to bring peace, he came to bring a sword, he said it like a man who came to bring a sword, not as a man who came to bring peace. And I think that the way the scriptures are being read today, all of the emotion of Jesus is out of it. It is merely words written in a book. An emotionless book. Hey, fellas, listen to me. This guy, not me, Jesus knows he's about to get beat. He's about to get thorns crammed into his head. He knows he's about to be crucified. He knows he's facing his final hours. He knows he's laying down his life. What kind of emotion would be inside you when you knew that? And crying to the people. Man, it's hard to follow me. That's what he's going to say. It's hard. Oh, yeah. Yeah, boys, you don't want to follow me. Let me tell you something, baby. Broad is the way, but not everybody's going to make it because it's narrow. And I'm telling you, Peter, this day, Pete, you're going to buckle, baby. Some woman standing in a fire is going to call you out, and you're going to buckle.
Amen.
That's what I think. That's what I think.
And many of the crowd that followed him and cheered him and said, Hosanna, Hosanna. It was the very same ones that were saying, crucify him. Crucify him.
Hey, coach.
Boy, this has been 20 minutes of hell. This is great. Good hell, I mean. Good, George.
Coach, what you're saying, what you're sharing, the depth of what Jesus did. And last night, I just was flipping through the religious channels just to see what the circus was doing, and I came across this one guy, Richard Roberts, to be honest with you, and he was talking about the transfer of wealth in the last days and how your camel was going to be, a camel was coming to your house loaded down with riches, and you know, he was passionate about what he said, and he panned the audience, and those people were lapping it up. They were lapping up like a dog would lap up milk. And you know what? And then you share the truth that you shared. How revolting against the almighty holy God that we would stoop to doing that and that people are accepting it. What an abomination.
It is, bro. It is. So, again, you serve the gods you see, right? You serve the gods you see. And there had to be something unbelievably powerful about it. They didn't just follow him because he was a man of peace. He wasn't Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He wasn't, what's that guy's name? Gandhi. Come on, they thought he was John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's what they, what they saying about me, boy? Oh, Lord, ain't gonna believe it. They're saying you're John the Baptist, you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, one of the prophets. They ain't never heard nothing like you, boy. Huh? Come on here. Let's wake up and understand what's going on. This guy is fighting the war to end all wars, baby. He is, man, oh man. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming down and allowing himself to be beaten, bowed, broke. And we think he does it without any emotion? We think he's some effeminate guy? Boy, this is good. This just hit me this morning. Just hit me this morning as I was thinking about yesterday, that claw stuff I was reading about going on up in Cleveland. Think we're letting that stuff's going on and nobody. You know what the average Christian would say? Well, just stay away from it. Just stay away from it, brother. Jesus is coming. Just stay away from it. I said, yeah, but what about all the people being drawn into it and the lives are being destroyed by it? Well, brother, Jesus is in control. Jesus is coming, brother. Well, really? Would that be Jesus? Go ahead.
About how we've taught on the huddle Isaiah 6, when Isaiah sees God and God's train fills the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah realizes this is God Almighty, and the seraphim are flying around, and even they cover their eyes. This is who we serve.
Mm-hmm.
This is
Amen.
Our King. This is who we are obedient to. And we are.
Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus.
Coach, if I ever see you doing that up on stage, I'm going to throw fruit at you.
That's our
and
attitude.
You know what?
Isaiah's undone.
Colossians 2:14, even after this, when it says he nailed it to the cross, having removed, you know, that certificate of death, he removed it at the cross. It says that he made an open public display of him.
He
this
spiked
is in
the football,
hell,
Dale.
Having
he
triumphed
spiked,
over
spiked
him.
The football. He spiked the football, didn't he, Dale?
Brother, I always get a vision where Jesus is dragging Lucifer, dragging Satan through hell and making a public display of him.
Yes, sir. That's right. Spiked the football on him. Goliath, David, when he chopped off Goliath's head, 2 Samuel 17, is that where it is, Dale? Come on, Dale. 2 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. Jared's gone there. Jared, I want you to see this. Most of you never seen. You've never seen this. I know you haven't. Is it 1 Samuel, maybe? Jared, I think it's 1 Samuel, Jared. 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath.
Yeah, this is good.
So, keep on going. I'll go all the way down through it, Jared. David goes out and fights him. The three sons are already there. Let's get to the end, Jared. Get to the end of the chapter. Go all the way to the end of the chapter, because I'm not going to read you the story of David and Goliath if you want to. Right there.
1751.
Okay. 51. So David prevailed. No. Therefore, David ran, and he took up the Philistine. He took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines till they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. The wounded of the Philistines fell down on the way to Shechemar. David, 54. And David took the head of the Philistine and he carried that dude into downtown. And spiking the football, baby. Huh? Didn't show much love to old Goliath, did he? Didn't honor him in his death. He didn't do that, man. He took her right into downtown, showed him his head, and then he put his arm in his. Cool. All right. You get the point. I don't want to belabor it, making some of you pastors out there nervous. Amen.
Coach, I was just going to say the reason that he cut Goliath's head off was because he was Nephilim. Right?
Now you're going to open up another can of worms, but I know this, Jared. I know this. They weren't shocked to see him. They didn't say, "Hey, man, there's a great giant down there." They knew who he was.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, these were the same people that in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were when the two angels came down there to get Lot and his family out of there and warn them. Okay, they wanted to have sex with those two angels because, look, we can't even really understand or realize the realm that these people operated in these times.
We don't get it.
I mean, it's just like having the internet. That's just how they were with all these other beings. But I can remember the last conversation that we had, or at least I had, with Greg Evanson when we were driving down to Hurricane.
That's right.
Reminded everybody, look, this stuff.
I put him on the phone. That's right.
He said, "This stuff's coming back, and make sure you have copper ammo."
That's right.
Upper ammo, the biggest caliber you can get. That's what you need. That's what's going to work for them. Anyway.
Thanks, Chad. Just lost all my audience there with that aluminum foil hat. That's all right, man. That's all right. You'll hear about some of that from L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar as well. Yeah, I'm hoping Russ will be on with us tomorrow. Yeah, Roger.
Well, look as we wrap up, Dale took us 58. David takes the head to Saul. When he goes, yep. They take the king. They take him to the leader of the people of the time, and David's carrying his head. And Saul,
verse 57, and as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand.
And Saul became jealous and feared him. Maybe some people would fear Christians a little bit more for their.
Yep.
Not making sense, but you know where I'm going.
I do, brother. I do. I do. I do.
Maybe people would follow more.
Hey, Mike. Okay, so we're talking about the story. Of
morning,
David.
Glenn.
Okay, good morning,
Glenn.
Guys. Hey, my favorite passage in that whole story is verses 48 and 49, where it says that when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't
Amen.
Back away. Mm-hmm. He didn't take steps backward.
No, no.
He ran toward that dude.
He did. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's why he said, you come to me with a sword and a spear? He said, baby, I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. And that whole story's worth reading, by the way. That whole story's worth reading. I wish I had my Bible. Jared, scroll up a little bit. Because I want to show you the response. I want to show you. What am I looking for? I want to show you the response, Jared. Because, see, David's courage inspired others. And it
Absolutely.
Says in...
not only that, Coach, where were the Israelites?
Sure.
Where was his family before the battle began? Just like the church today, they were out there murmuring at him. Oh, you're this, you're just in here, you're the blah, 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 blah. So when you get ready to enter the battle, where's the church always murmuring at you? But when you have the victory, oh, they're roused up, they're courageous, and
mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, they'll follow you now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. When the men of Israel, where am I? Lord, help me find that. Okay, Jared, listen, let's do this first of all. Let's go to 52, I think it is, Jared, 51 and 52. So, David, 50, Jared. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He smote the Philistine and slew him. There wasn't even any sword in the hand of David. So David ran and stood upon the Philistine, pulled out the Philistine's own sword, and drew it out and sliced his stinking head off. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The devil's team took off running. But look, verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. You get the connection there? Do you get the connection? One group ran to the battle, and the other group ran from it. And I'm looking for where I find it. It doesn't matter.
Brother, coach, the insight to that passage of Scripture, they rose and they shouted. Prior to shouting, they were shaking in their boots.
Dale, they were hiding.
They were
I'm trying to find
they
it.
Were
they were hiding. Hiding in
they
the rocks,
hiding.
In the caves,
yeah.
In the crevices, in the
yeah.
thickets. That's where they were.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking
yeah,
for right now.
And somebody else had to go out and do the dirty work. And once they did, then everybody arose and everybody was excited.
Everybody's on that bandwagon then, weren't they? They all saw him and they were afraid of him. They went and hid themselves in the caves and the thickets. And I'm trying to find it. Somebody go ahead. I'm going to find it and show you.
Hey, coach, two and a half years ago, I got tired of seeing men run from the battle. I just got fed up with it, and I started reading your articles. And thank God you had the guts and the courage to stand for things and say things that most people, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, wouldn't say. Because, you know, what I needed just to justify in my own mind what what God was doing in my life.
Amen.
And you know what? I mean, we bring the David story into modern day. That was you, Coach. You were the modern day David. And now look at the people that are selling out. Not for you, but for the spirit that's in you. We want the living God. We want the real power. You know, in my lifetime, you guys, I have seen very little of the true power of God in the church. Now I know why. Because we haven't allowed God to be God. And it's,
amen,
it's
we
not,
have.
It's not right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, well, George. Amen.
Of God to be God through us.
We're afraid of it. We have been afraid, you know, 365 times it says, fear not. We have been afraid. We have feared.
It's two things, Kevin. It's two things. We've been mistaught. We've been taught a passivism that's not in the scripture, right? And we love ourselves too much. That's really what it is, right? We've been taught wrong.
Amen.
I'm still looking for this because I know that it's in you. Maybe it's 1 Samuel 13. Is that where it is, Lord? It says that the men hid them. They hid themselves in the rocks and the craze and the creek. I'm wasting valuable air time here. Trust me.
You know, I'm wrong, but there's a point where you're responsible, even though you have bad teaching. There's a point where you are responsible because you, and I'm talking to me, have the opportunity to let God's Word and God's Holy Spirit teach you right. And if you keep hanging on to the wrong teacher, the wrong teachings, eventually it's your fault, not the teacher's fault.
I'm with you, brother. You can't continue to pass that buck, can you?
That's right.
I'll find it. I'll put it in the find it for tomorrow because it shows that the men hid themselves in rocks and caves and crevices. And when David ran up and chopped off his head, what happened? Those men ran to the battle. See, there are men right now hiding. Men who have lost their courage. Men who have lost their will. But right now they're hiding in the caves and the crevices and the thickets. And when we see that giant fall, men are going to come running. They're going to come running out of those places. I can't believe that I can't find it. You just got to trust me that it says. You got to trust me. Okay, cool. I'm feeling alive today. What I want to show them today, Lord. What I want to show them. Okay, I hear you. I can't get away from it.
Oh, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gifts that are within you. Set them afire.
Amen.
Brother, when the coals start dimming down, brother, you got to stir them up. You got to feed them new fuel, and you got to ask God to breathe on them. Get fire in your soul.
That's right, Dale. Yeah. And
Coach has turned into a torch. We have all been stones of sulfur rolling around in our lives, not knowing what to do. And then we stumble by a fire and we catch fire.
Just the Lord told Elijah when he said, I'm the only one, he says, I've got 6,000 prophets that have not bent their knees. I'm telling you, there's pastors like me out there that have not bent their knees to this garbage.
Yeah, 1 Samuel 13, I found it. I knew if I just tarried long enough. Amen, Dale. Amen. I want you guys to see this. Hey, guys, a lot of people hiding. A lot of guys are sick and tired, and they're hiding. All right? They're hiding. 13:3. Start 13:3. I'm taking you somewhere. Bear with me here. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. The Philistines heard of it. So Jonathan killed some of these Philistines, and the Philistines hear about it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard, say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel, quit blowing your nose on the phone, on the microphone, and that Israel also was in an abomination with Philistines. The people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. So they show up to Gilgal. It's going to be a fight. They've been cleaning house, and they show up to Gilgal to fight. And the Philistines, that's the bad guys, gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the sea, shore in multitude. And they came up and they pitched in Michmash eastward of Beth-Aven. There we are. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, and the people were distressed, then the people hid themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And when David chops off the head of Goliath, we just read it, 17, what happens? The Philistines flee, and who comes running to the battle? These guys that have been hiding. It's a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful picture of courage. And now courage is contagious. Now courage builds bandwagon. And I can tell you this, there is and will never be any peace with the devil. And we do not take the words of our Savior where he said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Hey, boys, what is the sword a symbol of? The symbol of war. That I didn't come to bring peace with this old devil. I came in battle formation. That's what I came to do. I'm drawing down on this guy. We're at war with this guy. We're going to bury this guy. Oh, hang on. 2 Samuel. Are we still there, Jared? 2 Samuel. How about this? This is good, man. David shows up. Wow. Woo! Verse 51. I'm going to start. I may start crying when I read this. I get this picture in my head. No, go back, Jared. I'm 45. That's good. That's good. 45. And the Philistines said to David, the homosexual lobby, the gay movement, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the public schools, the ungodly, unrighteous government said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Don't mess with me. But the devil's team said, don't you be messing with me. We'll get you, boy. We'll break you, boy. We'll embarrass you publicly. We'll drag you into court. You'd be better off if you keep hiding in those caves and those thickets. You hide there, boys. We're in charge. And then David responded with some trash talk to the devil, to the Philistine, to that dude. You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield? Are you kidding me? That's all you got? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who, dude, you have defied, and this day, bud, will the Lord deliver you into my hands, and I will smite you, and I'm going to take your head off of you, and I'm going to give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the birds to pick away at your dirty dead carcass, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
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 Huh? Is that our attitude Amen. Today? Is that our attitude? Hell no, that's not our attitude today. They're killing and plundering and raping and yeah, Dale. And we ain't doing anything.
Let me encourage you with this. The Lord, I'm telling you, yes, Lord, he just spoke to me. Your name, Dave. Here we're talking about David. David did something, the same thing you do today, not even think you realize this. But David picked up 5 stones. He wasn't just about to take out Goliath, the enemy before him. He was going to take out his entire lineage. Coach, I know you. Brother, you got a pocket full of rocks. You don't just go after abortion. You go after the homosexuality. You go after the public education. You go after the politics,
same family.
Brother. You got a pocket full of rocks, brother. Come on, brother.
Yep.
Bring them all on. We're going to take out the whole lineage.
Amen. Amen. And one more verse. Thank you, Dale. One more verse. That they all in the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know But the Lord saves. First of all, the Lord saves. You don't do it on your own. But by the way, the Lord uses you, right? That the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear. The Lord does. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So see, we can't just say the battle belongs to the Lord, because it does, but it's going to be done with our hands. The battle is going to be delivered. The victory will be delivered into our hands. Why? The battle's the Lord's. He's got his kids covered, and his kids are going to win because the battle's his. We're merely fighting it for him. And all we do is capitulate. All we do is bend over and roll over and capitulate. That's all we do. That's all we do. Okay, now listen. I'm going to show you something here. I'm going to show you something. Here's where I was going to go this morning. And I've said this a number of times on this show. We have no idea the depth of evil. We do not understand the depth of evil. We don't understand the depth of evil in our politics, in Hollywood, in our schools. It's all around us, and we do not understand. We do not see the giant. And one of the ways that the enemy is being so effective in us and through us and to us is by convincing us that what we see isn't real. It's a conspiracy theory that isn't really going on. No, come on. Now, you guys, have you seen anything happen yet? Seen anybody arrested? This is all made up. This isn't going on. This isn't going on. They're not really trafficking children.
Yeah. Pope, hell's a conspiracy.
Hell's a conspiracy, the Pope tells us. Siri, I got this video, guys. I want you to see. This is the SGT report. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. It's 11 minutes. It's 11 minutes. But I think it's just kind of appropriate that we ended on this because, fellas, this is one of Goliath's brothers. And we have turned a blind eye, and we don't care. Did you know that 10% of the population of Syria is Christian? Did you know that 5 years ago there were 1.5 million Christians living in Syria, that today it's less than 400,000? Do you hear me? You hear me? While we play American Christianity patty cake over here, 1.1 million of our Christian brothers are gone in Syria. Now, I'm going to show you something. The last minute, this is an 11-minute video, but I want you to watch it. And the last minute of it will take your breath away. Go ahead and play that, Jerry. The video, the evil that's happening to our children right now, for the people who are listening and can't see it. The choice to know will be yours. You want to know the truth or not? You want to bury your head? You want to go hide in the caves and thickets and rocks and hide?
I want to start this video with Matthew 10:26. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. Pure evil. In my last video, I systematically recounted the global epidemic of child sex trafficking and satanic ritual abuse. It's been going on for decades in the United Kingdom and the United States and around the world, reaching the highest echelons of governments. As we await further details regarding the video of Hillary Clinton, NYPD insiders reportedly found on Anthony Weiner's laptop, there are new horrors to report. A horrific video I found on YouTube many months ago was removed within hours of me finding it and before I thought to download it. In light of this tweet on Sunday from our friend Liz Croken, 18,000 Syrian children have had their organs harvested. I searched for that video again and I found it. It's been re-uploaded. It's shocking and deeply disturbing. I will play it in full at the end of this report. Pure evil. What happens when a nation is thrust into a contrived, orchestrated civil war like Syria, or when an earthquake rocks a place like Haiti, or when NATO invades a nation like Libya? Refugees, Millions are displaced. Children are separated from parents on purpose. A human trafficker's delight, an organ trafficker's dream. Pure evil. On the day many months ago when I first saw the disturbing video that later disappeared from YouTube, I had also found this grisly photograph related to an article about Jewish organ traffickers in Syria. The Lebanese Ad-Dayer newspaper revealed that Turkish authorities are involved in trafficking the bodies of Syrian refugees who reach Turkish territories. I didn't share the photo at the time because I wasn't convinced that it wasn't staged. My own normalcy bias prevented me from accepting or believing that such monstrous Hannibal Lecter, Ed Gein level horrors could be taking place on such an enormous scale. According to the Ad-Dayer newspaper, the Turkish authorities transport young Syrian injured who enter their territories to hospitals in cars guarded by Turkish police and intelligence. The injured Syrians have their body organs excised after being anesthetized, and later they are killed. The newspaper notes that the body organs of the injured people that are most trafficked are livers, kidneys, and hearts to be given to people who are waiting for treatment in Turkey. A French doctor confirmed to Ad-Dayer that stealing of human body organs of injured Syrians in Turkey has actually taken place. Ad-Dayer stressed that Turkish doctors confirmed that out of 62,000 civilian and military injured people who were transported to Turkey, the body organs of 15,622 of them were taken. The incomprehensible horror of these facts have been ignored by the mainstream Mockingbird media in the United States and Europe. As far as real journalism about the crisis and false flag terror in Syria, independent journalist Eva Bartlett stands above the rest, explaining to whoever will listen or publish her work, everything you've been told about Syria is a lie.
In November 2016, I was in Aleppo, and there were journalists from New York Times, LA Times, and other Western media. The way in which they reported the terrorist bombardment on November 3rd of Aleppo was different from how I reported it, because I went there with the objective of reporting what Syrian people are experiencing. They, it seems, went there with the objective of reporting a narrative that would suit the Western agenda of regime change in Syria. Fake news means Al Jazeera, BBC, CNN, Fox, The Guardian, Channel 4 News.
Unfortunately, the reports of organ harvesting of Syrian child refugees is not a lie, and the numbers are staggering. Liz Crokin's tweet moved me to make this video. 18,000 Syrian children have had their organs harvested over the last 6 years. Confirmed. And yes, it's Turkish refugee camps on the border with Syria being identified as prime locations and hospitals where the organ harvesting has been, and it's still occurring today. According to a disclosure by Director General Hossein Nafel through United Nations officials, quote, "We have accurate information that over 25,000 surgical operations have been conducted in the refugee camps of the neighboring countries and in the terrorist-controlled areas in Syria since 2011 to take out the body organs of 18,000 Syrians and sell them in the international black markets," end quote. And I'd like to note that when he talks about the terrorist-controlled areas in Syria, he's talking about the anti-Assad rebels supported by the U.S. government. Why is this being allowed to continue? Why haven't you heard about it? Why is the mainstream media silent?
Dr. Skaf, a Syrian doctor working in North Syria, reported a staggering number of 18,000 children whose organs have been harvested mainly in Turkish refugee camps. In Turkish hospitals, when they go for treatment for minor injuries, many of them perished and their organs were totally taken out. What is the Human Rights Council and what other investigations are doing about this? Why should this come from a doctor who works there, not from the United Nations?
Well, first of all, as you know, because of our limited presence on the ground, we don't have any first-hand information about the reports you just cited.
It's policy. It happens here too. But they call them fetuses, not babies, and Planned Parenthood sells their parts. DV Biologics and Da Vinci Biosciences, both affiliated with the Clinton Foundation, have admitted guilt in working with Planned Parenthood to obtain aborted baby parts and have paid $7.8 million in fines. Mainstream media? Crickets. Pure evil has gripped this world, and we are shining a light on all of it. these people are sick, and Hillary Clinton made sure the same miseries were brought to the people of Libya, and she still thinks the blood of innocence she has on her hands is funny.
We came, we saw, he died.
Can you even imagine what would be if she was seated in the Oval Office? Q described it, HRC victory, hell on earth. And Q Post 854 should be reread. Is the stage set for a drop of HRC Raw Vid 55 EX-RVID 5774? Is this post describing a 5-minute and 50-second video? Does WikiLeaks have it? Has Julian Assange seen it? Reread. Stage. Was the unspeakable atrocity described by NYPD insiders performed on a stage? An altar? In a ceremony? The nail in many coffins. Impossible to defend. Toxic to those connected. And here's the most important part, friends. We must work together. We are only as strong as your voice. You must organize and be heard. This is why they keep us divided and in the dark. We must unite and spread the truth. Dark to light. Evil surrounds us. But because Hillary Clinton is not in the White House, we stand a fighting chance. And where we go one, we go all. And the choice to know will be yours, just as it is right now. Because I'm about to play the horrifying video I described at the beginning of this video. The numbers, the sheer numbers of the children whose organs have been harvested is staggering. How does one even begin to comprehend the thought or process of harvesting the organs of thousands of children by watching it happen to just one? I'm truly sorry for what you are about to see. I wish it weren't happening. I wish God Himself would intervene. It's absolute pure evil. Pray. And know this, there is nothing that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. There will come a time none of them will be able to walk down the street. Biggest fear, public awakening.
The world must know pure evil.
Hey, Coach.
Kind of breathtaking, huh? Yeah, Larry.
You know, that does relate to the Planned Parenthood activities and stuff, but that also relates to another very pressing matter for our country. And the people that are involved in taking those organs out of those folks are Muslims that are taking those organs and doing mm-hmm. them, using them for their benefit. Mm-hmm. And it's an extreme example of what they're doing. But the point is that we have their culture in invading our country, and they are not trying to become Americans. They are trying to make America become them. And that issue has got to be addressed. If the issue isn't addressed and talked about, it will never be corrected until our children and grandchildren are slaves.
Well, that means, Larry, that means somebody's got to grab some stones and somebody's got to go to work. Jared, somebody's requested the link in the yeah, thank you. Jared's put the link in there. Pure evil, fellas. Pure evil. See, we just don't want to believe it. We just don't want to believe it. Love, 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 love. And if we love like we say that we do, we can't continue to turn a blind eye. This is right in our neighborhood. This is happening in our local communities, not to the extent that we just watched there in Syria. But it's I understand Larry's point, but this is happening with more than the Muslims. These are sick, demonic people. We're in a war. Time to buckle up. Bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.